Good morning. It's 6:10 on June 30th. Yes, 6:10 on June 30th. Oh, and I can actually switch screens. I wasn't sure if I could switch screens and have it still record or not, and of course I can. June 30th, 6:10, 2012. Ah, cool morning. I got underway a little bit early this morning. I set out to leave at 5:30, and of course it was 15 minutes later than that before I even got my clothes on. So it goes. Yesterday's 3 hours was actually four. I started in a little early, around 8:30, because I was anxious to get to work, and it was 12:30 before I put it down, so I had a good day yesterday. The word count is somewhat up for grabs, in part because I did a lot of editing yesterday. I've reached a point in the story where the first act needs to merge with the old file, and I've done the first bit of that. And I have to say, it was a bit, and that was a lot, difficult. And I'm not 100% sure I'm comfortable with that transition. In part because I've added a new character, and because of that, some significant portion of the business on the story has changed. Because before it was Tanith on her own, going through the city gates and dealing with the guardsmen, and now it's Tanith and her companion, who are kind of caught out, and the companion winds up being sort of standing there while Tanith and whoever it is that she's interacting with interact. And it feels flat to me. So I may need to go look at that and think about how I want to proceed from here. Now, 2,500 words a day, I'm at 30,000 words. So in about 20 days, if I keep going to 2,500 words a day and don't save anything, don't recover any portion of the text, I could write the books from scratch in 20 days and have 80,000 words. Well, I could have 80,000 words if I continue at 2,500 words a day for the next 20 days. Now, the downside of that is that there's a lot of stuff in that book I like. I don't necessarily want to rewrite it from scratch. So I need to think about this. I've got it in the hands of a couple beta readers who are going to let me know what they think about the transition. I may be more concerned with it because I'm aware of just where the merge happens. It's sort of like seeing the splice in the film because I made the splice myself. I'm not sure anybody else is going to notice. So we'll see how this works out. I'm probably going to proceed with the book in recovery mode from here and try to do two or three chapters a day, merge them in, add the new characters, change some of the business. See how it works out. And the problem is that I really need to have this companion for Tanith after Frank leaves and heads back to the village. But Frank is still on the scene at the moment, and I need to keep Tanith and her companion together. And it has to be, she has to be serving a purpose in the story itself. And at the moment, she's feeling kind of tacked on, where for the first 100 pages or so, the first 20,000 words, she was very much part of the story. And now with her in the village, with them in the city of Cleesport, she's kind of pushed into the background. Which may or may not be a problem, I'm not 100% sure. She's a character that I need later. And I wonder if I can't take better advantage of her presence to tell the story in a little more depth. There's a couple of places that I need more depth, and I'm wondering if this new character can help me with that. Must needs ponder. Oh, and welcome to new listener. Yesterday, I had a nice conversation with a telephone nurse. My insurance company, and I'm sure others have probably run into this before, my insurance company has this program where they will have outreach. They've got a file on me, naturally, and the healthcare provider has a nurse that checks in once a month to see how my health is in general, kind of a little checkup between checkups. And now, given that I go see my primary care every 4 months and I visit my rheumatologist once a year, and next week I'm going to go see my dentist for the first time in way too long, it's not like I'm completely without medical resources. But I thought it was an interesting one. And we were talking about exercise, and I happened to mention that I walk every day, and then I do this podcast. And she was like, really? You do a podcast? You do like a walking podcast? And I was like, yeah. And she said, well, I listen to walking podcasts. I've been looking for more of them. Oh, I forgot to tell her about the Shrinking Man Project. Well, if you're listening, and she said she was going to go look me up, so maybe she is. If you're listening, there's also the Shrinking Man Project, Doc Coleman. If you Google the Shrinking Man Project, you'll find it. And while it's not a walking podcast per se, it is a health and fitness kind of podcast for a guy who's trying to lose weight. And speaking of weight, I weighed myself this morning for the first time in like 3 months. I thought I had done it before, but no. 198 pounds. So, yeah. I'm going in the wrong direction. I've got to stop this. So I had a really good conversation with the nurse. And next week I'm getting a call from a dietitian. We're going to talk about things like grains and fruits and vegetables, calorie counts. It turns out that the fruit that I was so proud of myself because I was eating fruit and not eating cookies and other kinds of sweet or salty snack foods filled with empty carbs. The grapes are a little bit problematic because they have too many carbs and too much sugar. So, yeah, the 5 pounds of grapes a week that I've been eating, thinking I've been eating healthy, not so much. It's probably still better than 5 pounds of cookies, but still not helping. And I have this bad, bad habit of grazing. So we noodled around a bit, and I'll talk to the dietitian about this some more. But I've pulled grapes. Grapes are off my list. I've substituted navel oranges, and I've got a bag of, not the big ones, but some smaller navel oranges. So they won't have quite as much. They've got actually half as much sugar and half as many carbs as the grapes do. So that's not bad. I need to recover my oatmeal habit. And the oatmeal, which is what's going to tie this back to Ravenwood, which is where we started. Tanith always has oatmeal in the morning. And back when I was in my big weight loss push, that was one of the things that I really credited with my weight loss was that I ate steel-cut oats, not flat-rolled oats, but steel-cut oats that I cooked with a cup of apple juice, a cup of water, and a few raisins. And I didn't put any other sweetener in it, it was just that. But the steel-cut oats made a very satisfying breakfast. And what I typically did was I put them on the night before and bring them to a boil and then let them set overnight. And that was it. I just bring them to a boil, and then once they were boiling, turn the burner off, walk away. And they would sit on the counter, they would sit on the stove. The heat, the residual heat from the burner would keep it warm for a while, and that warmth was all it really needed, plus the time to turn those little hard kernels of grain into a quite tasty breakfast. And even if I cut out the cup of apple juice and just cook it with water and a few raisins, it should be fine. I probably could do either or on alternate days just to change it up. But the result is a cup of cooked oatmeal that is completely free of all of the other kinds of salt and sugars that come in packaged cereals. I've taken to eating packaged cereals, primarily Raisin Bran, just because it's easy. But I think I need to revisit some of this. The other thing I'm going to do is start journaling food. That'll have a really interesting control structure to it, because I won't eat anything that I can't measure. And because I'm going to write it down, I need to be able to say how much of it I ate. So I'll be paying attention to portion sizes, and we'll see how this works. I really need to do something, because by the time I get back to the doctor's again, I have to be down under 190. And at a pound a week, that's going to be 8 weeks, which is, I think, when I go back to see him again. So we've got to get this under control, and the weight is the easiest one to deal with. And I know I will feel better. Not that I feel bad, because quite frankly, I feel quite good. I feel actually really good for what may be the first time in a long time, actually. I'm a little nervous about going back to see the dentist. I'm quite nervous about that. I don't do well with dentists to begin with. This is a new dentist. He gets very high marks. We'll see how it works out. But I really can't go back to my old dentist. I can't put myself in his hands anymore. But waiting as long as I have has also been kind of dumb. I really should have been doing this years ago. And the hypocrisy of it, of making my daughters go when I wasn't, was more than I could really look at myself with. So, yeah, I gotta do it. If I expect the kids to do it, I have to do it myself. One of those things. I also have to get a hold of this eye doctor, because it's getting harder and harder to see. So I've got to call and get cataract surgery scheduled. And my course starts on Monday, so July is going to be full. I started writing my new calendar up already, so it's not like the last minute thing. I'll have a page to go up tomorrow. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to record this kind of editing session, because doing word count doesn't really, you know, word count isn't really significant because I'm not writing new words. Now, if I decide to abandon the old work and just write it again from scratch, because now I know what the story is and I can write the same story but generate new words for it, on the one hand, I know what the plot points are. On the one hand, it seems kind of like, why? I've already got it written once. And it would be more efficient to go in and add 10,000 words a day and massage them so that they work with the new character structure. Because part of it, and I'm sure that I can salvage big chunks of the time that she's in Cleesport, before she gets on the ship. And so it would be kind of a shame to sacrifice what I've already got for the sake of keeping an arbitrary word count going, when what I really need to be doing is putting the story together in a way that makes sense, in a way that I can start to read, so that in July, instead of word counts, I can do chapter reading and work toward getting this book actually out. Now, the other side of that is that I could take the afternoon and do the editing in the afternoon, write fresh words for a different story in the morning, and then edit the old book in the afternoon. That's also a possibility. It's a problematic one, because it means that I've got big hunks of the day that I had set aside for non-writing, for those activities where I have to do things that are not involved in the actual herding of words. So I don't think that's going to work. I have to have my work time so that I can say, afternoon, you can bug me, but right now, don't bug me. Because it's one thing to say to the family, don't bug me. And it's very difficult for them to deal with, because they can never bug me. So they never can talk to me, and they feel really shut out. Whereas if I say, don't bug me until afternoon, then there's a time when they feel like I'm actually there. This has been a problem around my house, because I've been striving so hard to get things done and failing, which hasn't helped, that it's been problematic with the family. So, you know, I have to own some of this myself. I have to own a lot of this myself. Beautiful morning. Sun's up. It's probably going to be another hot one. It wasn't as hot yesterday. It was only like 97. And that just rolls off the tongue like, oh yeah, nothing big. 95, 97. For this time of year, those are pretty common temperatures. Also why I stay in the cellar. Ah, but I made it. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and I will talk to you then.